Once again, here we are, podcast number 61. And although it's not, you know, an extreme number or anything like that, it's definitely not a marker type number. We do have some good news. Y'all know that I have been missing for the last month and a half or so. My partner in crime, my co-host, my Loki incarnate, well, apparently, he decided to drop in on us and check on us and give us a little bit of his time. So, Carrie, it's on you. Say hi.
Hey, very Loki-esque.
Very Loki-esque, yes. Do one thing, tell one thing and do another all the time. But anyway, yeah, so we may be able to work it out, guys, where I'm Jen and this is Carrie, and we will both be with y'all on a semi-regular basis for the podcast. So we're gonna work what we can do on that and keep our fingers crossed, all right? So, Carrie, how's things been going? We haven't heard from you in about a month and a half.
Well, it's been crazy busy. Work has become sort of a, like, gladiator gauntlet.
Good Lord. You know? And you work at a college.
Yeah, and this is brutal.
Oh,
academia.
Wow.
At its finest, and I'm up for the challenge.
Good.
That being said, it has taken some time.
Well, yeah, I mean, things like that are going to take up your time. You know, it tends to be that way. I, on the other hand, have a whole lot of time on my hands, unfortunately. There was some upset at my place of business, so I'm no longer there. So, yeah, so I have a bunch of free time. So hopefully we'll be able to get some really, really interesting podcasts going on because I won't be doing anything else. I won't be working 70 and 80 hours a week anymore. So,
right.
Yep. Although my move has been postponed, if not halted indefinitely. I'm not really sure where we sit on that just yet. So we're not going to have to take the week or month out for that, but everything else is still swimming. And I think that's all in personal news. I have not heard a blasted thing from either one of our men. Have you?
No. You know, the rumor mill is still kind of turning.
Always.
But it's because there has been no word. And so now it feels like any media that has any new news to report is just kind of retreading.
Right. They're rehashing old stories.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, we had Barry on the podcast last week. That was neat. You know, mm-hmm. We don't get him on the podcast very often, but he volunteered, to help out while looking for another co-host. But apparently, hopefully, I won't have to do that. So that's going to be nice. That's going to be good. But yeah, we are continuing what we started before Christmas. We did the Hiddle Facts, which Barry loves to call the Hiddle Bits for some reason. Yeah. He's weird. But that's okay. We're all weird. But so I figure we go on ahead and do Carrie's introduction to Depositions, which is Johnny Depp, fun facts and trivia. So tell me, Carrie, is there something that you don't know about Johnny Depp that you'd like to find out?
You know, being a high-profile celebrity and being accomplished as an actor, we know a pretty good bit about Johnny, and he wants to keep those other things in his life private, and he's been successful at that.
Very few things in his life, however, now are private since the trial.
Yeah, but, you know, you would think that since the trial and it being so public that they would release, you know, more statements about his upcoming projects and that sort of thing. You know, he's an actor. It's his livelihood.
And they are keeping a lot of things close to the vest. You're right about that.
They most certainly are.
But,
you know, yeah, that being said, you know, things that I wanted to know about Johnny, That's probably going to be locked down. His PR team is probably concentrating on future things that are coming up and putting a positive spin on it.
Oh, I was thinking more along the lines of just like silly stuff, silly trivia, not like earth-shattering news, but
yeah,
just
little silly things. Silly trivia. So,
yeah. Like, what's his greatest fear? You know, something like that.
Well, there's been a lot of stuff going on recently about Henry Cavill and what he's going to be doing since he is no longer Superman and he's no longer doing The Witcher.
Right.
You know, it sort of makes me wonder if when we're looking at Johnny, you know, Cavill has talked about how much he loved the source material for The Witcher, how much he enjoyed being Superman. A lot of the nerds are like, listen, Cavill is one of us. He talks about Warhammer 40K.
Right.
You know, he talks about kind of some of the gaming, and really, you know, we all know he's a hunk.
Oh,
we
God,
all know
yes.
that he looks fucking amazing.
Oh, he is beautiful.
But, you know, that being said, he talks a lot about kind of his fandom, his personal fandom.
Right.
Johnny doesn't talk about that, and I was kind of wondering, what is Johnny's fandom? What is Johnny, you know, he contributes a lot.
I actually can answer that. Johnny Depp, believe it or not, is a huge collector of Barbie dolls.
What?
Yep. He collects Barbie dolls.
Okay.
Bet you didn't know that.
I did know that. And you've talked about this?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So, why? Has he given reasons? And, hey, he's got the resources. I'm sure he's got some incredible pieces in his collection.
Oh, I'm sure. God. It started with his daughter. And when he, because he would get on the floor and play Barbies with her, you know, like any other dad would. Or some dads wouldn't, but, you know, he did. So, but yeah, he started playing with Barbies with his daughter, and it went, you know, she wants this one, she wants that one, she wants this one, and he starts seeing how these things are actual collector's items, some of them, so.
Right.
And of course, there's somebody, I'm trying to think, I can't remember exactly where he's at, but he takes Barbie dolls, and like Ken dolls.
Yeah.
And redoes the makeup, the clothing, and turns them into celebrity dolls. He has several Johnny Depps. He has an Edward Scissorhands. He has a Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
I've seen these dolls when he posts pictures of them. They are amazing. I'm wondering if Johnny has any of his own dolls in that collection.
Wow.
I would love.
So he modifies these dolls himself.
Yes, yes. The guy gets the dolls. He goes out and gets just generic Ken dolls, generic whatever, and modifies them and turns them into celebrity dolls. I will actually, and I will do this, I promise, guys, I will do this as soon as I get done recording the podcast. I will post on the blog a picture of one of my favorite Depp/Barbie dolls. It's a very, very cool piece, and it's really amazing. I will post that on the blog as soon as we get done recording this podcast, so. That,
wow.
Don't let me forget, Carrie. Remind me that I have to do this.
Okay. Yeah, I want to know. So,
oh, yeah.
You bet.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. Really, really
yeah.
cool.
Well, you know, I always knew about Barbie dolls, sure. And I have a daughter, and she was into Barbie dolls. And I did not realize that, you know, in the early 2000s, and as far as I know, even still, they were doing direct-to-video Barbie movies that were computer-animated.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if he's also talking about that sort of thing, because they release these dolls, and they have story arcs. There's like Mermaidia.
Right.
12 Dancing Princesses.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
You know, all of those. And I wonder if he's talking, the Mariposa dolls. I wonder if he ended up kind of getting involved in it because, you know, sure, he's playing Barbie dolls with his daughter, but most of these kids not only are into the dolls, but they have to see the movies. And if he watched these movies, and you know what? The voice acting, fantastic. The animation for the time, fantastic. They have original songs. They kind of did like a Disney model.
They kind of, it's kind of running right up there equal to the Tinkerbell movies.
Yes. Perfect example to compare it to. And they were making money off of essentially, you know, a video release, but also they were trying to move dolls.
Right, definitely.
So I wonder if he's, you know, I don't know, watched 12 Dancing Princesses, and frankly, I know a couple of these voice actors and a few of these musicians, and he's like, you know what, these are actually really good.
Yeah.
Given what they are.
Well, yeah. So, but yeah, that is his thing. That is what he does. He collects Barbies. Now, see, I was...
Johnny Depp collects Barbies. Yeah. It's a statement.
Tell me about it. It's a sign of the times is what it is.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm down with it. It makes sense to me.
Of course, you know, Johnny Depp is also one of the most gorgeous men I've ever seen, rocking an Angora sweater or a pair of Kiki doll lips. So,
oh, sure.
You know, but, yeah, he did the one in Ed Wood and the other in Edward Scissorhands. So.
Yep.
Oh, but, yeah, I was kind of surprised, though.
Oh, wow.
Because one of the... Oh, go ahead. Oh, you're still blown away over the Barbies, huh?
Well, just throwing this out there, and I know this sounds ridiculous, but, you know, he's doing Johnny Depp, you know, Barbie dolls. I would love to see his interpretation of the Ed Wood doll.
Oh, yeah, that would be amazing. That would be awesome.
Yeah, it has the grin, you know, the Ed Wood grin, and, you know, the tweed suit. You know, you're going to have to definitely get somebody to, be, you know, create those clothes. You can't
Or you'd have to make them yourself.
Or you have to make them yourself. Yeah. And if he pulled that off, that'd be amazing.
I mean, the man can do anything. He paints. He's a musician. He's an actor. He writes his own music. So he's a poet as well. He could do it. He could pull it off.
I think so.
Oh, he could definitely. But there was one thing that kind of surprised me. I was doing some looking because I figured the number would be much, much higher. Okay, so how many times do you think Johnny Depp has actually been arrested?
Four.
Four?
It's either two or four.
Okay, I was wondering if you had any for instances in your mind when you say four.
I think it's two, but it's more likely four.
Well, your I think is correct. He was arrested once for getting into a fight with.
Room.
Yeah, but he said an armadillo did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other was when he threatened paparazzi with a 2x4 he pulled out of the dumpster.
Right.
That's
good, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I said, he said, here, hang on, let me pull it up. I've got the quote, actually, about that particular incident. I have the quote. He said something along the lines of, to see the fear in their eyes, oh, it was worth 6 hours in jail. I have the exact quote. I'm just not sure where. Because I've got a list of, like, you know, 600 quotes. So, just breezing through that to find the one single one. Yeah, not going to happen. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Oh, here's a quote for you. Reminds me of you, actually, Carrie.
Okay.
There's a drive in me that won't allow me to do certain things that are easy. Oh, escapism is survival to me. That's another one.
Good one.
Talking about when when he was coming into his own, when he was, you know, maturing in your teenage years, he said, when I met people, they said, you look like a hobo, but you smell really good.
Yeah. Of course, it's a natural for Sauvage.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I still have not been able to find out if that wolf is his or not. Or if it's even a, you know, wolf. But
yeah, right.
Certainly looks like a wolf, but...
Could be CG.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it might be a dog that looks like a wolf. A shaved-down husky.
I was thinking the commercials. Right.
But, yeah. Oh, no. That's all right there. They do that. Yep. It's whatever it is, it's tame. one of the reporters that put together a however many things about Johnny Depp you'd like to know. I love the way this person writes. It's Randy Dawn writing for Today online. They say on Pirates of the Caribbean 5, which will be his fifth reprisal of Captain Jack Sparrow. 1, 2, and 4 were pretty good. We're trying to forgive him for number 3.
Okay, yeah.
Of course, mine is 1, 2, and 3 were pretty good, and I'll try to forgive him for number 4, because I thought number 4 sucked.
Yeah.
I did not like it at all.
Well, you know, 1 and 2 were definitely kind of the apex.
Yes. 3 went downhill from there, but it was still, to me, it was still pretty good simply for the storyline, simply for the way it ended. I thought the entire movie was worth it for the way it ended. I really did. You know, he gave up his dream of living forever and gave that to his buddy to save his life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just very Jack Sparrow. Totally.
Yeah. So. And story-wise, it was pretty great, but execution...
True, not so much.
Yeah.
You know the backstory of Jack Sparrow, right?
Yes, the slaves.
Yeah, why he was branded a pirate to begin with. Because he released a shipload of slaves. So, yeah, Captain Jack Sparrow is not that bad a guy. Now, I know one of your movies that you like that I don't care for with Johnny Depp is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Is that correct?
That's true.
All right. So, most of the movie, his head, he's bald. Most of the movie, right?
That's right. Yeah. With the hat and the sunglasses.
Yep. So, is that a ball cap? Or did he shave his head?
I'm sure that it's kind of a combination of both. He shaved his head and then they put a really convincing prosthetic on it because they had to make room.
Actually, he let Hunter Thompson shave his head for Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas because of a bet.
Like Hunter himself.
Yes, like Hunter himself.
Right. Awesome.
And this also kind of surprised me because I know he claims some Indian heritage in his bloodline. It's been argued back and forth. He does have Indian in him. He doesn't have Indian in it. Whatever. I don't really care. But he actually joined the Comanche Nation when he was cast as Tonto in The Lone Ranger.
Yeah, that I know.
I did not. I did not know that. So, I'm surprised the Comanche Nation allowed him to join. They are notoriously a very closed community.
Yeah, but in the 21st century, perhaps.
Well,
they were more lenient, and they banked on this being a good movie, and it wasn't.
Well, but the fact that it's Johnny Depp, too, I'm sure played a part.
Yep, I wholeheartedly agree.
Uh-huh. And, however, speaking of the Lone Ranger, I could not find out who. In the short time that I had, but there was someone who was willing to shell out more than $1,000 to attend the premiere of The Lone Ranger. Of course, it would have to be the premiere that Johnny himself was present at. But yeah, he was willing. Someone was willing to shell out more than $1,000 to be there.
Sure.
And I'm not sure who it was. I mean, I'm sure it was not anybody that I recognize. I'm sure it's just some, you know, super fan. But,
yeah, I don't know.
Well, hey, somebody paid $3,000 for his underwear. I'm wanting to know why it didn't go for why it didn't go higher than that.
You know, that's an income tax return. You know, I'm sure that's money well spent.
Well, hey,
you know,
they auctioned off a pair of Johnny's undies again. I will give you my firstborn child. She may not like it, but
find the way.
Yeah, Katie, I'm sorry, you're going with them.
Yeah, make sure Johnny does not wash it before he sends it.
Oh no! That would kind of negate the point.
Right.
Oh yeah, he was floored though when somebody paid $3,000 for his underwear at auction.
Jeez.
Uh-huh. Huh. And he does actually go by an alias when he stays at hotels, so that if someone calls up and says, Johnny Depp there? They can say, well, no, he's not. So he does use an alias. Any idea what that might be?
Ron Mexico.
Good guess. I like the way you think. Actually, this is so much more Johnny. Mr. Stench.
His first name is Mr. and his last name is Stench.
No, it's just Mr. Stench. Doesn't give it a first name. It's just Mr. Stench.
Well, that doesn't look obvious.
Yeah, no kidding, right? But it's so Johnny.
So
Johnny. I mean, he wanted his character in 21 Jump Street to be like afraid of peanut butter and, you know, just all kinds of weird crap. So, yeah, that actually makes sense with him doing the Sauvage commercials. Mr. Stench really makes sense.
Gotcha.
Yup. But yeah, and I'm going to have to look this up because I didn't realize that he and Ricky Gervais had a beef.
Did not know.
Let's see. This article was written in 2013, so it's been quite a while. 2013, this is for his 50th birthday. But he popped up on HBO's Life's Too Short as an unhinged version of himself to get back at Ricky Gervais for comments he made while hosting the Golden Globes.
Oh my God.
What's nastier
right.
than Ricky Gervais's jokes, Depp asked. His teeth.
his tiny little teeth.
Oh, what's nastier than Ricky Gervais's jokes? His teeth. So yeah, he had to get back. I'm waiting to see if he's going to say anything about, oh God, what's the man's name? He just came out with his memoirs and he was really cutting about Depp in a couple of his interviews. Played in Braveheart as the uncle. Played in X-Men as the scientist that worked with Wolverine.
The guy that played Stryker.
Yes, him.
Yeah, I forgot what his name was.
Yeah, he put out his memoirs last year and was, oh, more like 2 years ago now, because I was still over in Gray when they came out. But he was very, very cutting about Depp. Just some of the comments that he's made about working with this one, working with that one. And he's never worked with Johnny Depp at all, ever. But yeah, he felt he knew enough about him to run his mouth. It wasn't very long after that that he printed a retraction because he got so much flack for being nasty.
Wow.
Yup. Oh yeah. I was one of those that was quite perturbed. Because I love the actor. I think he's awesome. He's amazing. And just about everything he does, he is absolutely brilliant. But don't be nasty about Johnny. Don't do that. No.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's just one thing. Yeah, that's... No. Yep. Oh, yeah. He was almost mugged in 2010. You know what stopped it?
In Europe or America?
It does not say. I kind of remember, and I think it was New York, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But he was almost mugged. But the mugger recognized him and said, oh, hell no, I ain't stealing from Captain Jack.
Yeah, that would be a bad, let's face it, that would be a bad idea.
Oh my goodness, yeah. That would just be horrible. Of course, what would be even worse would be dressing up as Captain Jack and mugging people.
Can you imagine?
Okay, I could. I could, man. Come on.
You're like, yes,
I can. I don't know, officer, but I honestly, I think I got mugged by Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I think it was Captain Jack Sparrow. Oh, really?
And you know what?
I think it was Johnny Depp as Jack Sparrow.
Right.
Okay, get the hell out of here.
Cop would be like, oh, man, please. Can you check this guy's blood, find out what he's smoking?
Yeah. Right, right.
But yeah, I could just see that shit.
Yeah, me too.
That would be classic. But yeah, wasn't there a guy or a group of guys that was running around doing that at one point in time in New York? They were dressing up as different characters and actors and.
That's right.
Yeah, I thought I'd heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yup. But yeah, I just thought that was hilarious that the guy recognized Johnny and just backed off and said no. Oh yeah, when he wrecked the hotel room in 94.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Roger Daltrey of The Who
was
next door. He was so loud, he actually complained. Roger Daltrey of The Who complained about noise at a hotel. Think about that.
Well, okay. And we're talking about 1994, right?
1994, yes.
I can see it. I can see it. Just because at that point, you know, and I love Roger Daltrey, and I followed his career when he did like the solo albums and stuff in the earlier days of MTV. Roger Daltrey's pretty old. I can see him being like a cranky old English guy that was perturbed because somebody next door, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really funny and cool coincidence.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, following along the same lines as one of his idols. Now, not his biggest one, but one of his idols is Robin Williams. Not Robbie Williams, but Robin Williams, the comedian.
Right.
Following along in his footsteps for the film Transcendence, and supposedly quite a few others. He has made sure that part of his contract states that homeless are hired as extras.
Right.
So yes. That's something that he's continuing on in Robin Williams. Because Robin Williams is the first one I heard about that was doing that. His contract, it was in there that X number of homeless would be hired for you know, any of the roles that he did, that they would hire the homeless for extras.
And they have a couple of guys, or at least one, that kind of made a name for himself,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a extra in one of these movies, and he's kind of sought after.
Well, yeah, he's one of those that it's that guy.
Yeah.
You see him all the time. You see him all over the place, but you have no idea who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. Oh, and which came first, the Pirates of the Caribbean or Keith Richards being in the Pirates of the Caribbean? What do you think?
I know that the inspiration, one of the inspirations for Sparrow was Keith Williams, and then they
Richards.
Finally kind of talked him into it.
Richards, not Williams.
Or, pardon me, yeah.
But yeah, he became friends with Richards, and then realizing that they actually do look quite similar, they talked him into the role.
They looked great together. You could see it. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if I didn't know better, you know, I would have sworn, they're related some kind of which way.
Yeah. If you didn't know who the two were, you could easily see that fitting into casting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and one of the other things, I keep popping up with these things because I'm just kind of scrolling through these different sites that I've got pulled up, so, you know. But I did not know this until I read it right here. He has his own publishing company. Infinitum Nihil.
Nothing, so what do they publish?
Nothing is Forever is the name of it. One of the things that he is publishing, or that he has published, is Woody Guthrie's novel, House of Earth.
Oh, wow.
He actually edited that along with another editor. He and one other man edited that book before it was published.
And, you know, if you ask me, that's a fantastic feather in his cap.
No kidding, right?
Yeah, that's quite an honor, and I can totally see Johnny being the man for the job.
And he was also one of the loudest voices in getting the West Memphis 3 sprung from death row and then from prison.
Yep. Yep, I do remember that.
They
reopened, yeah.
They were not guilty at all.
No.
But, yeah, of course, everybody, there's not a guilty man in prison, I'm telling you. They all say they're innocent, but these guys actually were.
Yeah, and you know, there was some, I think there was some DNA evidence, you know, later after the fact.
Right, that they didn't want to hear about. Nobody wanted to hear about that.
Nope, because they already had their man.
Of course.
Or men.
They already had it. Yeah, of course. Johnny also does know sign language. He knows, this is the funny part. He knows American Sign Language. Hilston knows British Sign Language. I wonder how close the two are. I wonder if they're close enough to converse in sign language.
You know, that's a very, very good question.
I will have to look at that and get back to you. So we will put a pin in that, and I will make a note so that I can look that up and find something out.
You know, that being said, he had the wherewithal to research the difference.
Right. That's one thing I'm going to have to do. Oh, and on the thing about differences and what's related to what, the question about Hiddleston with the mimicry and the language skills.
Uh-huh.
Well, I have not been able to get a college professor or professor of language to answer my calls for 6 months. So I have gone around the way and kind of buttonholed it. I have a teacher friend who's going to ask their other teacher friends about it and see if maybe on a high school level they have some kind of insight. So we're going to wait and see on that. We're slowly but surely coming to an answer on that one.
Yeah, that's an interesting, very interesting question.
Because they may not be related at all. But you would think with the way, how good he is with accents, that would have something to do with the mimicry? You would think?
Yeah, it's still language.
Yeah.
You know.
But maybe not. So we'll find out. I'll keep y'all posted. Mm.
So, did Johnny ever talk about who his acting influences were?
Oh, God, yes. Many times.
Who's he got? Is Brando one of them? Marlon Brando?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Marlon Brando is one of them. But, yeah, you're going to have to give me a second to be able to. But because, like I said, I've got over 600 quotes. So, it's going to take me a few minutes. So.
And while you're looking into it, gentle listener, you know, let me kind of interject that he's always been a craftsman when it comes to acting and his music. And you definitely get the impression that he's drawn from and honored from the acting side, others that have a proven technique, like Brando. Whenever you watch Brando, especially kind of like On the Waterfront and those earlier movies, Johnny certainly had to at least watch those movies and say, you know, I really kind of want to do that.
Oh, yeah. And one of the actors that has worked with both Hiddleston and Depp did just that. Miss Mia. Mia Wasikowski?
Yeah.
Yeah, she did just that. She's got a feel for it and said, hey, that's what I want to do. So she researched how.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
She has no acting background. She has no famous parents. She doesn't have any, any of that at all.
Well, and, you know, thinking about his early film roles and his work on 21 Jump Street, he always projected himself with authority, even Private Resort.
Right.
He was certainly drawing from something or some influence, and he made it his own, and that's kind of part of the genius. These things aren't made in a vacuum.
Right.
And it really does feel like he's like, well, this guy was fantastic at it. I have completely analyzed this, and I know what I'm capable of. I'm going to kind of blend the two, and it was massively successful.
Right.
And so I do kind of wonder, you know, Brando, you're right. You know, he's so Marlon Brando. But it can't just be Marlon Brando. And then after it started taking off into the 90s, it became the Johnny Depp thing. And now everyone else is kind of drawing off of his method. But he started certainly from certain cinema idols,
right,
that he really, really liked. And I do kind of wonder who his influences were.
I cannot find the quote for nothing, but I know Marlon Brando, Robert De Niro was one.
Sure. The bravado of Robert De Niro.
Oh, God, who doesn't like Robert De Niro?
Yeah, and you know, if you've got the chops and you want to emulate De Niro and you pull it off, well, you're a damn fine actor, I would think.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, that. Of course, De Niro, I think any actor is going to name De Niro as to, who inspired them to be an actor or what actor they,
yeah, want to base their template off of.
Right.
You know, it's either De Niro, they'll say Pacino, sometimes they
Pacino
say
is a big one.
Gregory Peck.
But I'm not finding the quote that I'm looking for, but that's all right, because I'll find it later, and then I'll be like, hey guys, guess what I found?
Yeah.
There's a few quotes that I really like. I don't do quotes much, simply because they're so often misquoted. So I hate to say this is a direct quote, and then it turns out, nope, I got it wrong, because whoever penned it got it wrong, or didn't hear it right, or whatever. So I usually don't do quotes, but there's a couple that I really, really love. One of them is Johnny's opinion of being famous, as he says he feels like he still does not feel famous. He does not. A reporter summed it up in a few words. He said, okay, you want the job, but not the flashbulbs. This is what Johnny had to say about that. Quote, look, I used to work construction. I've pumped gas and sold t-shirts in my adult life. And there's nothing worse than some rich actor saying, oh, my life is so hard. I'm lucky to have this job. And celebrity, fame, or whatever that stuff is a hazard of the job. Maybe I should do what Brando did 30 years ago, buy an island, maybe take my girl and some friends and just go there and sleep, and read and swim and think clear thoughts, because you really can't do that here. You can't be normal, not with people hitting you up at any given moment with bizarre requests. You can't just hang out and have a cup of coffee and pick your nose or, you know, reaches down like he's going to adjust your package, you know?
Right.
So, But yeah, that was his big thing, was that LA was good in small bursts. But he needed some place where he had room to think.
Right. You know, LA is where the hub is, but you really don't want to live at the hub.
Well, the thing about it is it's not real life. That is not
exactly.
Real life.
Babe, absolutely. You're quite right.
And
yeah, it's fabricated.
But he gets it. And a lot of actors and actresses, oh no, that is their thing. That's, they love it in LA. Yeah, he understands that is not real life. So I thought that was extremely down to earth of him. But the other quote that I really love, and I'm so glad somebody besides me has said it, he was asked if he was monogamous. You know what he said?
He basically said, you know, why are we even talking about this?
No, he did not. He answered the question. He said, quote, I'm very true. I wouldn't hurt her, and I expect she wouldn't hurt me. Fidelity is important as long as it's pure. But the moment it goes against your insides, if you want to be somewhere else, if she wants to dabble, then you need to make a change. I'm not sure any human being is made to be with one person forever and ever. Amen. My own parents didn't do it. My dad left when I was 15, and maybe in some of my public relationships, maybe I was trying to right the wrongs of my parents by creating a classic fairy tale love. Trying to solve the fear of abandonment we all have. Anyway, it didn't work. That's not to say I didn't love those people. I have been with some great girls, and I certainly thought I loved them. Though, now I have my doubts. I felt something intense, but was it love? I don't know. So now I can't say I can love someone forever, or if anybody can. That's freaking classic. I love it.
Yeah.
He actually goes on in that same... That is from the Playboy article, 1990... Crap. I'm wanting to say 93. Not sure. I'll have to look at that. I've got it packed away up here somewhere. But it's the Playboy article with Pamela Anderson on the front and an ad featuring his best girl back then, Kate Moss, on the back. I sent you pictures of those, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But yeah, he goes on in that article to say that there is a difference between being faithful and being monogamous. Because you can be faithful and not be monogamous. Just saying. So, but yeah, I really love it that he actually pointed that out. Because,
yeah.
And this was pointed out years ago, where, you know, in today's society, polyamorous relationships.
Polyamorous, yeah, right.
I have a child that's in a polyamorous relationship right now. I'm deathly afraid for her. I'm afraid she's going to get hurt. But there was no them and then me in that relationship. They all three got together and decided they would all three be a throuple. So, you know, I guess that maybe made a little bit of a difference. I don't know. But it still bothers me. It worries me. But yeah, it's no big deal nowadays. But back then, that was a big deal. You know, you didn't do that. So, I just think it's cool that he actually pointed that out.
Yeah, me too.
You know, he's definitely a well before his time.
Yes, yes.
And you know how thorough he is when he does a biography? Like he did Blow. He spent a lot of time with, what was his name? The guy's life that he was portraying.
In Blow?
Yeah.
The dealer.
Fred, was it Fred? Anyway.
Can't remember.
But he spent a lot of time with the guy in prison.
Yeah.
He did the same for He did the same with, that's how he got to be such good friends with Hunter S. Thompson. was spending time with him to do his movie.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Absolutely. But so he does, he's very thorough with learning the actual people behind the roles when he does a biography or a biography-angled movie. There's one exception to that. Can you guess who it is?
Gonna go with Hunter S. Thompson or Roland Dahl.
Nope, neither one.
Who is it?
Whitey Bulger.
He tried.
He went to the prison several times.
Yeah, and Whitey said almost nothing.
Whitey would not speak with him. He would not talk to him. He would sit stare at him. That's how he got that friggin' piercing fucking stare in the movie Black Mass. That's how he got it.
Yep, he observing just, him in prison. Woo.
But yeah, he said after about the fourth or fifth time, he could not make himself go back. He was waiting for this man to jump up and like pull a something out of the air and just come at him. He's like, it was just totally creepy that he would sit there and stare for hours and never say a word, never answer any questions, not with as much as a head nod or a blink. No reaction to anything that Johnny would say. Nothing. However, he got a little bit of feedback. Scott Cooper is the one who directed Black Mass.
Okay.
And he hired some of Whitey Bulger's associates as consultants for the movie. The ones who were not in prison.
The guys that actually did the pleas.
Yeah. But he hired several of them as consultants for the movie. And every time they turned around, oh man, that's him. That's him. That's Whitey, all right. Man, you got him nailed down. That's Whitey. Oh yeah.
Wow.
So he did get vindicated for his performance with as close to as close to Whitey as he could get. But yeah.
The only person that got closer in these portrayals of Whitey was Whitey. They did that HBO special.
Yeah.
And trying to vindicate himself.
I couldn't watch it.
He was floppy, right?
Yeah, because he was trying to vindicate himself, but he knew he was friggin' guilty.
Right.
I mean, I'm sorry.
And he didn't know how it worked, if you will, on the outside. He did kind of implicate himself because he was interested in doing his own self-image.
Yeah, but he forgot rule number one. If it's something that might make you look bad, don't say it.
Yep. And that is so true.
And if you forget rule number one, go to rule number two. Fucking write rule number one down.
Yep, yeah, right. Yeah, poor Whitey.
I know. Whitey. Are you kidding me?
In a way. Yeah, poor Whitey was a fool.
Oh, he
an
was
evil
a,
man was
he
a
was
fool.
An evil man. Forget anything else. The man was pure evil.
You know, that being said, that's kind of a really cool side thing that we can talk about with Johnny. He wanted to talk to this awful, evil man. You know, nobody really wanted to talk to, or they couldn't get permission to talk to Charles Manson.
No, they couldn't get permission. Manson wanted to talk to people.
Right. Well, but when you were talking to Manson, apparently it was very obvious that whatever he said, obviously bullshit.
Right, it was a lie.
Obviously.
He was making shit up as he went along, trying to impress you.
You know, Whitey was a bit more clever, where he, like, played it a lot close to his vest. And he's like, well, try and crack the code. Where Manson was like, here I am. Everything here. Da-da-da-da-da. And it was all a bunch of bullshit.
But see, the thing about Manson is, Manson is probably the best known murderer ever. Right?
Right.
Probably the best known that you'll ever find. But number one, he did not kill a single person. And number two, the number of people his family killed is a drop in the bucket compared to some of these other guys. But Manson is the name that you hear because they hit Sharon Tate without knowing who she was.
Yeah, and it was an early case, too.
Yeah.
Sharon Tate really made it big.
Popped them within days. I mean, they knew who killed them. It was not a big mystery.
Yes.
Yeah, but with all of this, they were sloppy, they were stupid, they got busted immediately. With all of this, he is still the biggest name out there as far as killers go. I'm still trying to figure out how that works. I mean, the Green River Killer. How many people did they estimate that he probably...
Somewhere around 20, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I don't even know the man's name. I know the Green River Killer.
Right.
But I don't know his name.
Exactly.
You know. Hell, half these, you know, documentaries that I see on these different, I'm going, was I alive? Yeah, I was alive when that happened. Where the hell was I? Was I buried under a rock somewhere? Of course, there were years that could very possibly be true. But, you know.
and, you know, let this kind of be, and I'm not trying to, oh my God. All right, so I'm not trying to take away from Tom Hiddleston and his choice of roles, because the roles he's picked are fantastic.
Or the roles that have picked him.
Yeah. Well, that being said, Johnny is into, you know, the guy from Blow.
Uh-huh.
He wants to do Whitey Bulger. You know, stuff like that.
Right.
Hiddleston hasn't necessarily done that. And you know what? I wouldn't do it if I were an actor.
I don't know that I could ever come out of that. I mean, you've got to get in their head. You have to get in their head to portray them correctly. You have to.
Yes.
You know, Johnny has said many times that there is a darkness in him that allows him to explore these characters a bit more than... I understand exactly where he's coming from. You know, hello, darkness, my old friend. I'm very familiar with what he's talking about.
Right.
So, you know... I try to keep the darkness at bay, but there are times you just got to open the door and just say, come on in, babe, have a seat. Haven't seen you in a while. What's up?
So, and you know, not trying to detract from Hiddleston, and maybe he's not interested in those roles because he wants to pursue other things.
He doesn't have that darkness. I'm afraid he can't.
And there you go.
He does not have that darkness.
Exactly.
You know, it's obvious, and I'm still trying to figure out if he is an incredibly convincing narcissist or if he really is a Pollyanna. But, you know, it's one or the other. Yeah, but I'm beginning to believe that he really is a Pollyanna. He actually is that happy all the damn time. And, power to him. I am so glad that there are people out there like that.
And you know, I think you have hit the nail on the head. And there is nothing wrong. You know, you're going to have possibly a happier life being that Pollyanna and maybe calling it a Pollyanna.
I wasn't trying to be rude. It's just the best way I know how to describe
it. Right, right. No, well, we're from that generation where we remember Pollyanna.
Of course, now people are going to be listening to the podcast looking up on their phone, who the hell is Pollyanna?
Right. Yeah, by the way, if you guys don't know what we're talking about and you want to get into Pollyanna, by all means. But being said, you know.
She was Little Orphan Annie before Little Orphan Annie. They probably don't know that one either.
That was exactly what I was thinking. But, you know, that being said, a lot of guys don't want to hit that spot where, you know, actors, where they're like, I want to just be the darkest, you know, person. You want to do good, interesting roles that are fairly...
innocuous.
Yeah, innocuous or... You know, you don't want to go into those horrible depths, not because you're not capable, but because you're like, ugh.
That
I just don't want to do that shit.
Or you fear what you might find once you get down there.
Right, and it seems like Johnny was...
He has accepted himself as who he is, the whole of himself. He knows who he is. You may not, I may not. He knows who he is. He has no problem with that. And part of accepting yourself when you're somebody like Johnny is accepting those dark places. You've got to understand that they're part of you. And he does. And he uses them. And he uses them well.
You know, I want to posit this as a now, I suppose, infrequent, you know, contributor.
Hopefully more frequent than infrequent, but okay.
But you know, Hiddleston is a very good technical actor, and he's actually also a good non-technical actor.
He's a very good emotional actor.
Johnny wants to immerse himself in these dark, dark roles. And then he moves on. And that's what's so fascinating about Johnny. He'll do something just like awful, and he will immerse himself in it almost to like a method actor. And then he's Willy Wonka.
Right, exactly. And that's what I was saying. You know, a lot of people, you know, they get down in those dark places and they don't know if they can ever come back out of them. You know Johnny takes it or leaves it.
And I do not think that those people are lesser actors for it.
Oh, no. It's just that it takes a special kind of psycho to be able to immerse themselves in those dark places and still come out none the worse for wear.
You know, Tom doesn't want to necessarily take on these roles, and at the same time, he wants to keep his private life with his new child very private.
Right.
And that makes sense.
Well, yeah.
You know, Johnny, and he was kind of a trailblazer because we're talking the 80s and 90s before Tom.
Right.
Where he's like, you know, I am going to be fearless in my research of these roles, and I'm going to immerse myself in it.
And I'm only going to take roles that I want to take.
And again, gentle listener, I know this is, you know, Hiddleston and Depp, but...
We can do both. I'd like to do both.
And I love Hiddleston's roles, and he revolutionized Loki for me.
Right.
But for actor just sacrificing himself... I think that I do kind of prefer Depp, and it's fairly obvious why.
Right. And we are just about out of time, but I do want to end with one quote from Johnny that kind of encapsulates the whole what he does for each role. He was out at a restaurant with his daughter, and she was very young. She was not very old at all, and this lady asked her what her daddy did for a living. She didn't say, my daddy's an actor. She didn't say, you know, he plays in movies. No, my daddy's a pirate. Johnny said he was very, very proud of that answer.
Yes, and yes. And you know what? Great. And these guys that immerse themselves in these roles like Johnny, and then he raises an actress that understands.
Right. And she does. Have you seen her?
Yeah.
She is, she will top her dad one day. She is amazing.
You know, we talk about Elvis's and Priscilla's daughter, what's her name, Riley
yeah.
Keown. She actually kind of broke away and has said, you know, I will take on these difficult roles regardless of, you know, my daddy's roles. That being said, I watched, you know, this development since I was a young child, and I choose this.
Right. Very
and,
intense.
You know, yeah, I can't wait to see Tom's child, be it male or female. We still don't know. You know, if they decide to become an actor, very interesting to follow that career.
And it's going to be interesting to follow them regardless because, I mean, acting is going to be in this kid's blood.
Right.
It's either going to be acting or politics, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because the child has grandparents and great-grandparents that are politically immersed.
Correct.
And then also mom and dad both being actors. It's going to be very difficult for this child not to at least dabble a little bit with acting.
You know, for a future podcast, it might be interesting to follow Lily's, an episode where we talk about her acting roles and her potential.
We could definitely do that. There's one movie that I have not seen yet, but I want to see. I can't remember the name of it. It's like a Netflix original or something like that. She's at this basically insane asylum where they're trying to treat people who feel they're more like animals than they are people.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking furries, guys. I'm not talking a fetish kind of thing. No, I'm talking about...
No, like they feel...
They feel like they're more an animal than they are a person. Mm-hmm. And I want to see this because it looks... The bits that I've seen, the trailers I've seen, look amazing. And, you know, she's beautiful. She looks just like her mother. She's got Johnny's attitude. I just can't wait to see what this girl is going to do. She is going to blow it away.
I can't agree more.
But yeah, we can definitely do a show on Lily, and maybe we can, I'll do some research. That's what I do. And see about maybe coming up with other children of actors, both those that did go into the business and those that did not. So, yeah, that we'll put a pin in that for future reference.
Right.
But, yeah, I think that's it. I think it is about time to say goodnight, guys. I will be posting on the blog, so I will do that as soon as I get done with this. And anything else, Carrie? Maybe we will see you next couple of weeks or so?
Oh, sure.
Okay, great. All right, guys, you heard him say it. We'll hold him to it.
Yep, it is on record.
Absolutely. You have spoken. It has been recorded. Yep. We are going to hold you to it. So until then, guys, be safe, be happy. Can't be good, be good at it.
Yep. Peace and love.
Love and peace. Check you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.